Today, we'd like to see Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 to 29, under the title of Hardened His Heart. To align with multitudes, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. What characters of God can we see in the phrase over hardened his heart? Question 2, in verse 2, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. What can we learn? What can we learn? Question 3. In this chapter 10, what are Pharaoh's compromises and what can we learn? What can we learn? First of all, brief background. The 8th plague, locust, and the 9th plague, darkness, are described in this chapter 10. In the last chapter 9, the 7th plague, hail and fire, is described in Exodus chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. The 10 plagues are described in the book of Exodus from chapters 7 through 12. Number 1, blood. Number 2, frogs. Number 3, lice. Number 4, flies. Number 5, livestock pestilence. Number 6, boils. Number 7, hail and fire. Today, number 8, locust. Today, number 9, darkness. And the last one, 10, the death of firstborn male, including animal, too. Also, in this book of Exodus, we are seeing God's purposes or God's good purposes. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, which meaning I have raised the Pharaoh up, and that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Here we see God's purpose. Why God raised Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in order to show God's power in Pharaoh, then God's name may be declared in all the earth. God's name may be known by everybody on the earth. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretched out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So God allowed 10 plagues and a lot of happening. Why? So here, bring out the children of Israel from among them. Exodus of Israelites from Egypt. So that's the purpose. So here we can see God's purpose. Number one, to show God's power. Number two, God's name may be known by everybody. Number three, bring out Israelite from Egypt. Then the fourth purpose we can see, we'll let it read verse 2. And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So God wants the descendants also should know Jehovah God is the Lord. So that is the first purpose. First one said, now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servant that I may show these signs of mine before him. Question one said, what characters of God can we see in the phrase of hardened his heart? Number one, God wouldn't violate the free will. From beginning, Pharaoh made his heart hardened by himself. That is Exodus chapter 8, verse 15, 32, Exodus chapter 9, 34, Exodus chapter 13, verse 15 says so. I am reading. Exodus chapter 8, 15, one example. But when Pharaoh saw that they was relieved, he hardened his heart, which meaning he exercised his free will to harden his heart, and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. So, you know, several verses, first beginning, Pharaoh himself hardened his heart. Then, God is also, I have hardened his heart, which meaning God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That meaning, somebody raised the question, God is not fair because God, you know, hardened Pharaoh's heart. Then, you know, God punished him. That's just really, you know, unfair. But here we see, you know, first beginning, so Pharaoh himself exercised his free will to harden his heart. Then here, another Bible verse is the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Romans chapter 1, you know, talks about homosexuality, because some people exercise homosexuality against natural, you know, instinct. Mm-hmm. So then is God said, God, you know, gave them up. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's a Pharaoh exercised his free will to harden his heart. Then God did gave him up. So simply, God, you know, gave him up. Then meaning, I have hardened his heart, or I have given up Pharaoh's heart to harden. So then is, we can see this one's God, you know, gave up, you know, Pharaoh. Then also God, you know, has, you know, good purpose. So we already explained these four, you know, good purposes: to show God's power and God's name may be known by everybody on the earth. Then is the exodus of Israelites from Egypt. Then last one is God wants descendant to be taught by fathers that God is the Lord, you know, through mighty things. That is a verse 2. That is the purpose. Here is also we can see, you know, sovereignty. The sovereignty, which meaning absolute power to do, control. So whatever God wants, just God can do it. That is a popular verse, is Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8:28. Yeah, Romans chapter 8, yeah, 28, the said, Romans chapter 8:28. Yeah, all things work together for good to those who love God, are called according to God's purpose. That is really expressing is God's, you know, sovereignty. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So also Romans chapter 9, verses 17, 18, 21. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and then my name may be declared in the old earth. That's God's purpose. This is a disciple Paul interpret that is Exodus first. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Then verse 21, does not the potter have a power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So basically, God is like a potter. Potter has a power, whatever he wants. He made certain clay for precious vessel, certain clay for dirty vessel, whatever he wants. That is called God's sovereignty. So we can see hardened his heart, God's character. Number one, God would never violate free will.
Yeah.
So number two, if you commit sin continually, certain point in his time, God would give up, give you up. That is number three. But God has a good purpose, because God is good. God's purpose is good, good purpose. But the last one, we see God's sovereignty. Although some points we do not understand, God has sovereignty. That is what we can see. Also, last one example, the Joseph case. Joseph brothers sold Joseph for slavery. But Joseph's brothers did an evil thing. But God used Joseph's brothers' evil thing for God's good purpose, because Joseph was put as the prime minister of Egypt. So because of prime minister, so saving all the Israelites who might be famine, hunger, death. So then, Jesus Christ is coming out to save all the world. That kind of thing. That's why Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said, "But as for you, you meant evil against me." Basically, Joseph told Joseph's brothers, "Brothers meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, good purpose, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive."
Yeah.
So not to save many people alive. That is, we can see God's good purpose, God's sovereignty thing. Verse 2, "And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's sons the mighty thing." So God wants descendants to be taught by their forefathers about God's story in the Bible, or at the word of God. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So God wants to teach the word of God, the story of God, to your children. So here is another example, the history of Israel. So first time is they had a spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening meaning they are seeking the spiritual work. So they are responding to spiritual works. The spiritual awakening, then God blessed Israel spiritually and materially. Not only spiritual blessing, but also material blessing. But at that time, they focused on material thing only with human thought, then edging God out. So they put God in corner. So they used their own plan. That time is a blessing is disappearing. First spiritual blessing is disappearing. That is a spiritual decline. Then is a material blessing also is disappearing. That's a poor. That kind of a story not applied to nation of Israel, to church or other nations too. So one example, United States, from beginning, they came here, settled for spiritual thing from England, so Puritan. they are seeking Paul in a pure, the word of God, and in a spiritual works. That's why Puritan, pure people. But later then, they focused on material prosperity only. They used their own idea, plan. Now largely homosexuality, even it is against the Bible. So now it's elementary school not allowed prayer meeting.
Yeah.
So that kind of many thing, that time is supposed to decline, then is materially decline, becoming poor. So we feel the maturity is downing. That is a story. Here is we can learn God always need a perpetuity, spontaneity of the spirit. That meaning perpetuity is eternal succession.
Yeah.
So spontaneity of the spirit. Moment to moment we want to respond to spiritual works. Not like it's with the human thought.
Yeah.
That is we can see in verse 2. Then in verse 3, so Moses and Aaron came into the Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrew, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" Here also indicates Pharaoh exercised his free will to be to resist against God's will. Here, arrogant, humble. "Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts." Locusts is the eighth plague into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth. So there are so many locusts, so invisible, too many locusts. "They shall eat the residues of what is left, which remains to you from the hail." Hail is the seventh plague. Seventh plague is hail, destroyed many crops. The leftover will be eaten by locusts.
Yeah.
"And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen." So no such happened before, since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Verse 7, "Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the man go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" Pharaoh's servant likely wanted the Israel people to leave from Egypt, because otherwise Egypt might be destroyed completely.
Yeah.
So here a question, why not Pharaoh allow the Israel people to leave from Egypt? Because Pharaoh enjoyed the free labor over the Hebrew as slavery. So that's why the free labor, they are building the cities over Egypt. So that is a totally the self region, flesh region, contrary to God's word, God's intention. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God, who are the ones that are going." And Moses said, "We'll go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we will go." Basically everybody, so not only adults or children, all stocks and all animals, everything. So here we can see God always wants full submission to the Lord.
Yeah.
Not like a little save it.
Yes.
Unlike a soul. Soul want to save something, beautiful thing, for sacrifice. But like that, God wants full submission to the Lord. We must hold a feast to the Lord. Then here, verse 10, "Then he said to them, the Lord had a better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you." Which meaning Pharaoh doesn't agree with bringing adults and children together, that evil is ahead of you. Verse 11, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord. This is a compromise, basically excluding children and flocks. You know, only adults, you know, should go to leave from Egypt to serve the Lord. For that is what you desired. So always, you know, compromise is a devil's strategy. One example, Genesis chapter 3, you know, verse 1, you know, Satan said, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, or Eve, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So God never said in every tree. Here, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you surely die. So God said, you may eat, you know, every tree except the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But Satan, a little tricky. God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, question mark. Why? Because to tempt, you know, evil. So Satan always, you know, tricky, you know, a little, you know, the contaminated with, you know, God's commandment like that. He had a compromise too. They were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe, or seriously. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land, all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in hasty or hurry and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God, against you. This is a confession. Confession is not repentance. Confession simply means admission, my sin. Confession. Repentance is a change from self-centered life to the Lord-centered life. That's a repentance in the Bible. So self-centered life is to the Lord, you know, centered life, or a submission to the Lordship of God. So here, Pharaoh never submitted to the Lordship of God. Rather than just he want to escape from ugly happening by locust. So that's the reason. Sorrow might lead to repentance, but not sorrow itself is repentance. So confession also might lead repentance, but confession itself is not repentance. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once. Entreat the Lord to your God, that he may take away from this death only. Verse 18. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Again, give up. And he did not let the children of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness. Now, ninth plague, darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Here, Egyptian idol gods couldn't stop the darkness, Here, Egyptian idol gods are no personal intimacy. Yeah, I understand. I used to be Buddhist. Buddhist usually Buddhist, Buddha idol or worship. So Buddha, you know, had no, you know, personal, you know, relationship with me. You know, always, you know, the Buddha idol stand in the temple. You know, so like that. No personal intimacy. Number two, numerous. Not only one god, you know, to cooperate with other gods. You know, Buddhists too. Not only, you know, the Buddha, but the other philosophy, other religion, all, you know, mixed. Numerous, compromising, or impurity. Yeah, compromising. Yeah. Always compromising. But the God is God. God is a personal intimacy. So moment to moment, God created us. God sustained our life, moment to moment, second by, you know, heartbeat, moment to moment. Also, only one God, you know, only one creator, only one God.
Yeah.
Number three, true and living God. God is always true, no tricky, you know, always true and living, alive God. That's different. Over the land of Egypt, verse 23. They did not see one another, nor did anyone. That is why, thick darkness. Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. That's amazing. Verse 24, then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. Here, second compromise. So now, don't bring your flocks, your herds, but you may bring adult and children, okay? So this is another compromise. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Verse 26, our livestock also shall go with us. Why? Not a hoof. Hoof is might be horse, you know, or, you know, cow kind of thing, shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. Here, Moses waiting for his time, God's time, to elect which sacrifice. Until arrive there, we don't know God, you know, wants, you know, which animal, which sacrifice, we don't know. That's why, you know, we should bring, you know, all flocks, all animals there. That is a very good attitude, you know, our heart, you know, always spontaneous to spiritual work, or we should be sensitive to spiritual work, you know, flexibly. So that is a very important lesson right here. Verse 27, but the Lord hardened the Pharaoh's heart again, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, take heed to you. Yourself and see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, we have spoken well. I will never see you, your face again. Now the last plague, the death of a firstborn, you know, male is coming, you know, next chapter. Oh, let's see each question answer. In verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses, go into the Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. What characters of God can you see in the phrase of hardened his heart? Number one, God would never violate your free will. Number two, if you commit a continual sin, certain point in his time, God would give you up. Then the third one, but God has always a good purpose. The last one, sovereignty, according to God's sovereignty. All things work together for good. Question two, in verse two, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. What can we learn? We should teach the word of God, the story in the Bible, or our testimony in our life to my children, The last question in this chapter 10, what are Pharaoh's compromise and what can we learn? Compromise number 11, verse 11, Pharaoh said, only adults go there. You should not take your children. But next one, verse 24, now is you liver all animals, but you may go adult and children, that is to compromise. So we can learn God always wants full submission to the Lord, or undivided loyalty, undivided loyalty. That's a period. Okay, let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer, so we will conclude our Bible study.